Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings, and for that reason we cultivate bodhicitta motivation, and with that kind of motivation we should participate in this teaching. As we said, complete enlightenment or Buddhahood as our ultimate spiritual goal. Now we may think that, well, that is rather very difficult to accomplish. Yes, it is, difficult, but that does not mean we cannot attain it. We should consider that there have been, countless, beings who already attained Buddhahood or became Buddhas. And, before there was a time that all the present Buddhas were just like us, as ordinary and deluded as we are, but many of them have already become Buddhas.
So that Sanji Kumba Toyale Lebo Maris, but it is in a Dribani Buddha Pajang, and that's all that is Nyamu Bidova, his Dribani Jang, and there's one of the his son was such in the Kashi Tap, Tami Mambol and Dosi Tando Luis again.
Okay, nobody is saying that it is easy to become a Buddha. Yes, it is difficult. Why? Because when we look at the process that we have to go through to become a Buddha, there are two mental obscurations, delusions and obscuration to omniscient wisdom. These are the two mental obscurations that we must get rid of completely from within our mind. And we also need to fulfill the two types of accumulation of merit or positive energy, and accumulation of wisdom. And according to Buddhist Sutrayana point of view, it takes many eons for an individual person to purify himself or herself of the two types of mental obscuration and fulfill the two types of accumulation and thereby become a Buddha. So it doesn't matter what our present situation and circumstances are, or what kind of a sentient being that we are at the moment, but every sentient being will eventually you know, become a Buddha.
Kashi ka samba la, ane, ta, tansa ane ta dhri, kyulu kham, kyulu mandawa tansa milan ta mangbo yawaras. Ta sanji ji gomba toya la ta, ane, tansu kandhi ji thabtu gina samya, tokwa singi tindin duwas.
Yes. And in our world, we have many different religious systems or the traditions, and I believe there are some people, you know, who started to question what is the possibility of becoming a Buddha. And it is wonderful that we have so many religious systems of the traditions, and they are all, in a sense, to use a metaphor, like the, you know, staircase. You know, all of these, I believe, you know, help us to climb on and, you know, get to enlightened state. From a Buddhist theoretical standpoint, every sentient being has in his or her mind a seed of enlightenment. So that's why it is very possible for every sentient being to become a Buddha eventually. Yes, we all have you know, seeds of enlightenment in our minds, but that does not mean that seeds alone are enough for us to become Buddhas. We need to activate the seeds of enlightenment. We need to provide favorable conditions to nurture the seeds and the growth of the seeds so that we are able to, you know, harvest, if you will, the fruit of enlightenment.
So it's not
enough to, in order to grow something, it's not enough to have good seeds, but we also need to find a good soil or a land. So in the same way that our state of mind, our mental consciousness is a suitable soil or a land in which we can plant the seed of enlightenment. So when we talk about mind, it all seems like just a single phenomenon, but that's not the case. We have many different states of mind, and many of them are what we call deluded states of mind or negative states of mind. So negative states of mind are not the suitable you know, land or soil in which we can plant the seeds of enlightenment and grow them. So then what state of mind is that which is you know, the suitable land-like or soil-like in which we can plant the seed of enlightenment? If you ask, it is our mental consciousness that goes from one life into another life. So there is that state of mind that it maintains its continuity, a continuum from one life into another life. Every sentient being has such a state of mind that goes from one life into another life, and the nature of that mind is clear light, so it is in that kind of a you know, state of mind that continues from one life into another life that we plant our seed and nurture our seed of enlightenment. Ordinarily speaking, in order for us to grow anything, you know, we need good seeds, we need good soil, and then it's not enough to put the seeds in a good soil, but we need to provide it with the right kind of a temperature, you know, and we need to provide it with the water, we need to provide it with the manure or fertilizer. So when all these favorable causes and conditions are provided and they interact and work together, then we see the seeds grow very beautifully. Just like that.
That then take a ne chulutan drive, a ne lingi chichin, that same good thing, a ne does same the in the sovereign sum him by Karagurus and a ne turbata, sambata, a ne gombat and dig a ne cheguris.
So just as we need to provide the right temperature and, you know, water and fertilizer to the seeds. To grow beautifully in an ordinary sense. In the same way, for us to grow the seed of enlightenment in our mind, we need to provide it with favorable conditioning factors, just like water and sunlight. And the favorable conditioning factors here are listening to teaching, contemplation, and meditation. Sam kom sum. Listen. Contemplate, meditate. These three things are the activating conditions that we need to provide to activate and nurture our seed of enlightenment.
So, once I tell you, so the social energy at the number trailer, social at the servant is a mere the chair to raise.
So as you can see, the importance of doing what we call Buddhist education or study or listening to teaching, how that is an important part of providing a favorable conditioning factor to activate and nurture a seed of enlightenment in our mind.
The same thing, the
So when we provide all the necessary favorable conditioning factors to our seed of enlightenment, then that seed will grow very beautifully, and we see how this seed blossoms into the tree of realization, and then we can enjoy the good harvest, like the fruits of enlightenment on it. So as this seed of enlightenment grows, you know, what kind of fruits can it provide us, if you ask? There are two, as we often talk about, two types of enlightened body called kayas. There is the enlightened form body and enlightened truth body.
That chugus yatele dusene ene duji chuku chen dimash chuku nin dus chaguyoris.
We can further categorize these two enlightened bodies into different types. In the case of Dharmakaya, Chukku or truth body, it has two different aspects of the dimension. One is what we call a composite aspect, and it is called unproduced dimension of truth body. And another one is a non-composite, or wait a minute, I have to redo this one. The truth body has two dimensions. One is a composite dimension of truth body, which is called a produced dimension, and another one is the non-composite or unproduced dimension of a truth body.
No. That thinking him in bus, when the seven types of himself, somebody same there is, that same thing. Same in a non-changing word, that number of years being on years, the chuck that the same thing, thing the 20 years, the more you send it. The much is good,
so when we nurture the seed of enlightenment in our mind, and eventually it becomes what we call an omniscient mind of a Buddha, all-knowing mind of a Buddha, and that aspect of enlightenment is what we call the composite or the produced dimension of enlightened body. But then the ultimate nature of omniscient mind, that is the non-produced or unproduced or the non-composite dimension or aspect of enlightenment.
That thing, then, zukuti ta tela tembe ani zukuti ani sanje je chen da peji yon ke ta ani peji ge te yin ba ta ta na ge ani yan thama ba tu zog ge thung i thwa ge ani tu gu se den lo sin long ku long ku da tu gu ge da ning yin a to gu yore.
So just as we can talk about two different dimensions of Dharmakaya or truth body, in the same way, we can talk about two different dimensions or aspects of enlightened form body, rupakaya or suku in Tibetan. And the two are, there is what we call emanation body or nirmanakaya, tulku, that you know, fortunate ordinary beings are able to access or have access to. They can perceive and interact with. And certain enlightened body is also characterized by major and minor marks of realization. But then another form body or the dimension of the form body is sambhogakaya, or complete resource body, a complete enjoyment body called longu, which ordinary people cannot perceive or interact with, but a higher level, I mean, bodhisattvas can interact with it.
That tendik thanda kyubatin yung sanji ji chukku ta anu zuku anu nyubu te anu sinki kande chi yin ya ta kande chi yin ya pe tanda nyawalu yon ya te anu namji ki yin anu sanji ji gomba tuya ta yodibaris te.
So what I'm saying here is from Buddhist theoretical standpoint, every sentient being, wherever we are at this particular moment, maybe we are in the worst kind of hell, but we all have what is called a seed of enlightenment and or Buddha nature. And when that is activated, then we all can eventually become an enlightened being or a Buddha with those four enlightened bodies, the two types of truth bodies and the two types of form bodies.
That the day Garanzo, Lozon, she had the Guba Chimbo, the day and the Sanji could drag a chair to Garan Samalok, Lozon Shigioris, Nambi, Kil Lozon Shigioris.
So, all of us who are involved in the Buddhist education here or teachings, we should understand the importance, the significance of what we are doing. What we are doing, our study, listening to teaching, and participating in Buddhist education, is a very important part of our practice, if you will, to activate and nurture the seed of enlightenment within ourselves. We must understand the underlying motivation behind our Buddhist education here is that we are not pursuing enlightenment or Buddhahood, so then we ourselves can be very happy and, you know, peaceful and, you know, everything goes well with our own life. That's not our motivation and that's not a part of our pursuit here. Our underlying motivation is that we want to bring an end to the suffering and causes of suffering of all sentient beings, and we want all sentient beings to find the highest level of peace and happiness, so that is our motivation and a goal, and with that as our motivation and goal, we pursue enlightenment.
Ngaran chamma loge sanje da sanje ge sung de chue de ge sun dang de te chue de kar de san ne sanje ye ye je den de rang sanje ko ba thoy ge de lo sin kan nang yo res ta te ngaran chog de nda te ta garang du ba ji sang tan ne ne te sum she go.
We are following the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, And what Buddha teaches us is, you know, how to become complete enlightened beings or Buddhas. And so what is involved in that, a central idea or the essential element is that we want to become a Buddha for the benefit of all other sentient beings. So with that kind of altruistic motivation, bodhicitta motivation, we need to pursue our study and practice.
So I,
you know, share some of these thoughts, you know, and for those who already know about these things, it is a reminder for us to reflect and consider these matters. And for others, this is new, then you are learning something new. Now we will go back to where we left off in this wonderful text called a miscellaneous collection of Kadambakesha's personal advices. And last week we talked about what Geshe Chekhaba had got to say in his public teachings, and he said that you know, we should all you know, learn four things and behave and think very differently from the ordinary people's way of thinking and behavior. Now remember, what are the four things we talked about last week? So we must not misunderstand and misinterpret Geshe Chekhaba's words, where he said, you know, we should think and behave differently from ordinary people. We must not misinterpret and, you know, misconstrue what he was really trying to communicate to us.
So
we must not, you know, think in the sense of, you know, okay, so what Geshe Chekhaba was saying is, don't do what the majority of the people are doing, and then by that we mean that, okay, majority of the people go to bed at night, so which means I will do the opposite and stay up all night. No, he is not talking about that. And then, you know, maybe, you know, many ordinary people are given to, you know, frustration and anger and maybe start fight with others. Well, and we shouldn't follow that and do the same thing. You know, we're not talking about that either. So remember, we went through the four things that Geshe Chekhaba advises us to follow, and I also told you to reflect upon them and to have you. So one of the things that Geshe Chekhaba talked about, that we ordinary beings, you know, cherish, you know, Buddhas, but not sentient beings. So Geshe Chekhaba was telling us that, you know, ordinary people cherish Buddhas but not sentient beings. So one of the things we need to learn is that do the opposite. You know, we need to learn to cherish sentient beings. So he gives us the reason why. And part of the reason is that, you know, it's rather hard for people not to respect Buddhas, you know, because that seems to be an easy thing to do. Whereas respecting sentient beings and cherishing sentient beings is where the challenge is. So we need to learn to cherish and respect sentient beings.
Tā jīngsī yī gōni sēngjī tāṁ jī kēpān dzīngu sā, jīngsī yī gōni tāṁbū tā kārī sā na kōwa nā yī bī sēngjī nāms dā gā pāma yī bī gōni kēpān dzīngu sā. Tā kōwa lā nē gā yī sēngjī kāndā jī yī nā yā. Tā sā mā lō rāng gā pā tāṁ mā, tā yī bī jīngsī sāṁ nē, nē kēpān dzīngu sā kā nā.
So he talks about four reasons that we could use to respect and cherish sentient beings. The reason number one is we should think about how all sentient beings have become our kind parents, father and mother, padama, in samsara. So by understanding that kind of a relationship we have with sentient beings, they have been our parents, then we develop respect for them and we cherish them.
Yeah. That pama dan drava sung mundu was pama yin be goni sung dan zhe 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 zhe.
So when we pay close attention to the wordings of Geshe Chekhov's teachings, he's telling us that we should think about how all sentient beings have become our kind parents. He did not say, you know, think of sentient beings as kind of just like parents. You know, he didn't say sentient beings are like parents, but kind of, sort of, not really. Then we started questioning, like, okay, maybe there are sentient beings who have nothing to do with me, you know, they're kind of, sort of. He's not saying that. He said, sentient beings have been our kind parents. So therefore, we need to recognize that and respect and cherish them. So of course we need to really use analytical thinking and reasoning to be able to understand even this concept, right? Otherwise it's rather not that easy to think of all sentient beings as having been our kind parents, and then we need to respect them and cherish them.
Rang shiva de mato shiva yin ane keles nam de tak shiva yin ane ma go na shiva yin yob de ha ma go na ane dan dan di ni su de khel kali khamores.
What I mean to say is, for example, if we are only confined to this life as if this is the only life, you know, that ever existed, well, then it's really difficult to think of all sentient beings as having been our parents, right? And we kind of, we don't know and we deny the existence of life before and life after, then there is no framework for us to understand how could sentient beings been our parents. But then, you know, if we only think about this lifetime and nothing else, then we all know we only got two parents, right? We can't have more than that. So then, you know, the whole thing is not making sense. So relating to what Geshe Chekhov said, you know, we need to understand there are such things as life before and life after. So we need to investigate and understand and develop, a certainty in that you know, we came from previous life to this life, and from this life we will go into next life. So we should investigate this matter and develop, definite understanding of life before and life after.
So that, kanda is the tanda ngaran sundi, the shivan dita.
I I mean, this life is here right now, and we are experiencing it, so maybe not difficult for us to deny its existence. It is here, and it is right here, and we have it. But where does this come from? Then we try to analyze it. This life comes from the previous life. So where does the previous life come from? We go to the next one, the previous to that. So as we go on tracing, the previous lifetimes, then there is no really beginning
to rebirth.
And then some might even have a doubt, you know, oh, we don't have to complicate the matter like this. I think maybe we just came out of the inanimate rocks and trees and plants and somewhere. You know, why do we have to go back and try to trace it, you know, go endlessly like that? You know, maybe we just came out of the rocks, you
know.
And there are reasons why we couldn't have come from the rocks or the trees. Number one, we have what is called, mind or mental consciousness, and that could not have been produced by inanimate objects, and that could not come out of rocks and trees. But we must also not confuse our own mind with or the consciousness as if it is something came out of the mind of our mother or father. Yes, you know, they produced us, we were in the womb of the mother, we came out of her womb. But that being said, our consciousness, the mind, is not identical with mom or dad's consciousness, or it's not an offshoot or a product of their consciousness. You know, it is a different consciousness. And if we think that, you know, rocks and pebbles and trees could produce our mind, then that means we really have failed to understand the theory of karma. As a Buddhist, no matter what denominations we belong to, all of us must try to understand the theory of karma. Not only understand it, but we have to develop a trust and a belief in the law of karma and its results. Great Indian master Acharya Vasubandhu said that the different world systems have come about from a variety of karmas. And there are different types of karma, such as the intentional karma and unintentional karmas. Great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti has said that all sentient beings have been produced by their karmas, and so which means that all sentient beings in samsara are the results of their karmic actions.
Rang nampik number sanje bhi sambhe number sanje myo khelne ane mi te ne jun te sa ta do ta hinlin jomat ne khelam bhi ne pe ta gachab chimbres.
So if we claim ourselves to be Buddhist, and then we started to say that, oh, you know, my mind or the consciousness came from, you know, rocks and pebbles and trees and twigs like that, that is a big contradiction. And I just quoted only a few words of great Indian masters. Of course, all of their words are based on what Buddha originally said, so you can see the contradiction right there, what they said. And if we believe that inanimate objects have produced our consciousness.
rang ishewa thoma ma yin thoma me pa yin chane ane phata ma la ta ane sengi yin phata ma sheba da thang me pa cha gu yores.
So the point that I'm trying to make here is, since beginningless time, we have been reborn so many times in samsara, and during the course of those times, sentient beings have become our kind parents.
So that rank dying here, right? Send the rank dying in Shivan Hamal rank, part of Mata, Sumota, Mingbo, attendee, touch never shares.
So somebody might say, you know, wait a minute, what about the enemies I have in this life? Well, they are the enemies in this life, but they have not always been enemies in every lifetime. And in many other lifetimes, they have become our kind parents, they have become our, you know, our cousins and our best friends and relatives. And I mean, those who have been close of friends and relatives in this lifetime, in previous lifetimes, they also did many nasty things to us. They killed us many times, they hurt us many times. So the point I'm trying to make here is that sentient beings have been equally kind and equally, in some sense, nasty to us over the many lifetimes. So they have been our friends, they have been our enemies. They're all equal. So if we meditate on the fact that how relationships we have with sentient beings have been changing in many ways, that friends become enemies, enemies become friends, and this has been true in this life, and this has been true in many other lifetimes, then we started to develop a sense of equanimity towards all sentient beings. Because after all, they have been our friends, they have been our enemies. So who do we discriminate against, and who do we get to love? They're all same, you know. But then we always take on the positive side and thinking, and we say that sentient beings have been kind parents, so therefore we, you know, need to respect them and cherish them. So that was one of the reasons Geshe Shekhava gives us why we need to learn to cherish sentient beings,
in a sense more than Buddhas.
So if we need to learn to respect and cherish sentient beings, you know, what we do understand from this is that we cannot hurt them, we cannot harm them. So we really need to examine ourselves individually and personally, our state of mind, and our attitudinal reactions towards sentient beings. You know, even as Dharma practitioners or trying to practice Dharma, when we look at ourselves, how we function in everyday life, you know, we categorize sentient beings into different types, friends, enemies, and strangers. That's how we see them, and that's how we relate to them and react to them. But this is where, you know, we are making a mistake or an error. So when we think about cultivating bodhicitta for sentient beings, at the beginning, what we need to do is we need to prepare our mind for cultivating bodhicitta, altruism, and that, you know, we do that by way of cultivating sense of equanimity, balanced state of mind, even-mindedness, in relation to sentient beings.
That is joya de 조조신 답관들이 된 잠부지 말레스 내가 세사다 소신 로찬 년도 셀럼 세사다 로 근데 지인한테 전주 년도쇼 존에 약고 또 삼당 그랬어.
So we talk about cultivating sense of equanimity to other sentient beings. We are not simply talking about when we are sitting on a cushion and meditating. That's what we do. So when we get up, then it stops there. No. In every social interactions we have, we go to the jobs, we have co-workers to deal with. That's where we try to take the opportunity to cultivate sense of equanimity in relation to them. We live with our friends or family members. We try to cultivate the sense of equanimity in relation to them. We need people in our everyday situations. So we try to cultivate the balanced state of mind in every given opportunity and situations. That's what we're talking about, not simply when we are sitting and doing some kind of a meditation. So maybe that will be enough to talk about the need to cherish sentient beings. Now the second reason to respect and cherish sentient beings is once we really become very clear that sentient beings have been our kind parents, well, the next thing is very logical sense that we need to look at their situation. They are going through a lot of difficulties and pains and suffering, and so we need to repay their kindness. And that makes all sense, you know, logically. And so we cultivate, empathy with their situations, and we find their difficulties and suffering unbearable, and we develop a wish, you know, how can we repay their kindness. So we will consider the problematic situations in which we find, sentient beings in. Of course, there are, you know, the different types of suffering that we can think about, but there are specific sufferings that sentient beings experience in different situations. For example, when you think about sentient beings in the hells, so their sufferings are primarily consisted of, suffering of heat and cold. When you think about sufferings of pretas, of hungry ghosts, their suffering is primarily consists of starvation and thirst. So when we think about the sufferings of lesser kind of animals, a lot of their sufferings is to do with what we call, obscured state of mind, for lack of a better word to translate, lynching thimibo, which sometimes we translate as stupidity and some people get so upset. But it's, it is obscured state of mind. Relating to that, they don't know what to do much, to take care of themselves. And then we think about the humans, we got the sufferings of birth, aging, death, sickness, and all of that.
Then that lama in la tatsu could do his. Only lala chimpo tongue with Dunghis and those in that. Does any kid any that lambrin is got now your jetta? Nanju lambrin, Charles, not a tamalok, lambrin let pay to some she. That yanni she had the Nabat Shagurus.
And then the asuras or the demigods have their problems because they are constantly fighting for power and status with the gods, and so they often get defeated. So they get killed, tortured, and they have their suffering. Now the gods, with a little g, gods, or the divine beings, got their problem because when they are nearing death, now they started to freak out because they see where they are going to fall down. And so this is their problem. So we consider all these different problems and suffering in samsara experienced by beings. And as a matter of fact, Lamrim extensively presents and describes these sufferings, and this is what we try to bring into our mind and reflect upon, and then wish sentient beings to be free from suffering. There seems to be so much resentment and when we talk about the sufferings of the three unfortunate states of rebirth, hells and hungry ghosts and lesser kind of animal, you know, people kind of resist it, and they don't like it, and if really even can't bear to hear about these things, now how can we really do it when we are really experiencing them, or the beings who are already experiencing this suffering? So we cannot have that kind of resistance and biased attitudes towards the suffering of beings in the three unfortunate states of rebirth. As a matter of fact, we really need to understand their situations, and so that we empathize with them and we wish them to be free from suffering, so that we ourselves don't have to go into those situations. Now we talk a lot about the things that we find it unpleasant to listen to, sufferings and all kinds of things that can go wrong and do go wrong in the samsara, and we may not like to listen to those things, but we have to put a proper perspective on it to understand why we deal with so much the suffering nature of samsara. So it is basically, in our case, it is more like a prevention crisis, or what we call risk prevention technique. Let me give you an example here. In ordinary sense, when we understand what are the dangers and risks involved in doing something or going through certain areas, then we can prevent the dangers and risks. So that's a risk management that we can bring into. In the same way, when we understand the suffering and the problems of samsara, then that really helps us to manage the risk and dangers involved in samsara, so that we don't have to go through all kinds of hellish experiences in samsara. So as we really try to think about the sufferings of sentient beings who have been our kind parents, we are not simply just trying to understand what problems they have got, but our whole purpose of doing that is to be able to develop this strong compassion, wishing them to be free from their state of suffering. It's not so much like trying to understand what's happening with their life. The whole point of dealing with their suffering is so that we empathize with them, and we develop compassion to and for them.
That's somebody. Sengjian la pen tak pen is randuen xiu jin zhu pe goni jie pren zeng gu is ta de ta re rang ge sengjian ge ne pen tak pen yin na rang den da de xiu li ta zhu gu yan.
And the third reason why we need to learn to cherish and respect sentient beings is that by doing that, we are able to bring about self-improvement and betterment to ourselves. In other words, that indirectly, by working and cherishing sentient beings, indirectly, we are also working to benefit the self.
Sengjian pen tabo yin rang sengjian ngu shu ju sheng pen tabo yin rang dan da qian bu zi da shen ne he chou zou yu.
So when we directly and indirectly work for and benefit sentient beings, we are also accumulating merit and wisdom. And so that means, you know, we are fulfilling these two accumulations along the way to be able to reach our spiritual goal. To give an example here, let's say you got a good job and which has a really nice package deal, benefits. And now if you really work, you know, commit yourself to the work and you work hard, but you're also getting, benefiting yourselves at the same time, you know, through the benefit package and all the things, you know, all the perks that you receive. So when we cherish sentient beings, it is not like we are completely neglecting ourselves here. But as a matter of fact, that is a very smart way to take care of the self as well. By working directly and indirectly for sentient beings, we are also benefiting ourselves, at the same time. I started it off by saying that we need to activate the seed of enlightenment in our mind, and we need to fulfill the two types of accumulation. We need to get rid of the two types of mental obscuration. And how do we do that? In relation to whom? In relation to sentient beings. So when we benefit sentient beings, we cherish sentient beings, along the way, we are also purifying our negativities, we are accumulating merit and wisdom, and eventually, who get the greatest benefit, so to speak? Ourselves. We become Buddhas, we have the enlightened bodies, truth body, and form bodies. Just take another example of a practice. In this life, we are capable of and we practice generosity. You know, we help the poor and needy. And so as a result of that practice of generosity, we also, you know, become, how to say, rich, because generosity leads to resources. If we practice ethics very purely and by the power of observing ethics, so we are also able to achieve a good rebirth in the future. So you see, so we practice ethics in relation to sentient beings, but our benefit is that we attain good rebirth. So when we talk about practicing ethics, what we really involves is we commit ourselves not to hurt others, sentient beings, physically, verbally, and mentally.
So that day, sure, carry on with that. Then you come back to him. That be show example to him.
So the result, or the outcome of ethical practice is that we ourselves find good rebirths.
That run le pen run ke mi ying run le pe neban de beshiba ta. Sing neba lan.
And also when others, they say something unpleasant to us or, you know, hurt us, we need to practice patience.
So
as a result of practicing patience or tolerance, we ourselves will be able to find a beauty and attractiveness and also a positive influence.
That
I just kind of highlighted some of these things, and so you can delve more in depth into these matters.
원래 다 이바들이 생계를 팬 딱베스 산지의 전주 선거 탄진하는 협화 제신이 벌써 주위 다 주위어스 데스 네크스톤이 산노단이 생계견의 개발 증거스.
And the fourth reason to respect and cherish sentient beings is this, that by cherishing sentient beings, we are also cherishing Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. It is like when we benefit sentient beings, it's like we are making offering also to please, to delight Buddhas and Bodhisattvas as well.
That's Sanjeeva Sanjeeva Sambhattin, because Sanjeeva Sanjeeva Mato Thulu Gumbale Yuyamare, Sanjeeva Sanjeeva Dungheeva Trevata, Devata Dembata, Tivu Yuyamare, Gumba Yuyamare. That Tendriti Rangi, Rang Toni Tendriti Sanjeeva Yuyamare, Kchamala Mato Na Sanjeeva Kamleji Tendriti Tobe Yuyamare,
So why is that, if you ask? It's because Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have nothing else to think about except the happiness of sentient beings. That's our, their primary concern. You know, 24/7, they think about sentient beings, and that's all they care about. And now when we really benefit sentient beings, of course, let's say we can't benefit all sentient beings, but if we benefit even few sentient beings, that really delights Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and they kind of appreciate, what we are doing for sentient beings. So let me give an example here to illustrate my point. It is like, let's think about a very, loving family, closely knit. And if we are really helpful to one of the family members, that makes the whole family very happy with us, right? Whether the head of the family is mom or dad or both or whatever, we haven't helped each of them, but we help one of them, but because of that loving family, that they all appreciate our help to one of them.
So see, prejudice sheva te, any papa amal is sheva.
The point I'm trying to make here is when we think of a loving family and the two parents who love their children much more than themselves, what they really care about is the betterment of their children. So when we help their children, that pleases the parents more than when we help the parents themselves personally. But if we do something nasty to the children, these parents can get much more mad and angry, than we do something nasty to them personally. So the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are always, thinking about the betterment of sentient beings. So that's why sentient beings are like their children. So when we help these children, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are very pleased with us, but when we hurt them, they feel very disappointed by our actions.
Sanjay is saying that control sagui amaris, control sagui aka that the majay chowas that they do gumbal the younger was.
Now the ordinary parents might get mad really when we harm their children, but the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they don't get mad, but they're really disappointed when we hurt sentient beings.
Anything shanju shanji le cha chevi na shanji sam par cha chevi de ko chevi amare
in the supplement of the middle way madhyamik avatar it is stated that if we respect and salute bodhisattvas that respect and salutation would be same as respecting and saluting the Buddhas. But if we salute the Buddhas, it's not the same as, you know, we are saluting the Bodhisattvas also. Now you see the point? If we respect Bodhisattvas, our respect is also goes to the Buddhas as well. But if we respect Buddhas only, that does not translate into respect to Bodhisattvas.
Dawa seva la sha seva tar nyawa la mai nos kana. Dawa seva seva ya mudi ya de kaka kang ni pe kang kang ya ta chir chir ro tu de le ni sha se ta dawa sha se ki ina ri da.
No.
Ni sha se ge ma to kyen ni dawa ka kang cha de le a ta de ni kre se. Sha se bi ni ta a dawa seva la sha se ko chu ya ma res.
No. That's what Buddha has said in a sutra. If we respect bodhisattvas, that respect translates into respecting Buddhas. If we respect Buddhas, that does not necessarily translate into respect for bodhisattvas. An example given is, you know, if we appreciate the waxing moon, then it is like, you know, we're appreciating all the phases of the waxing moon, including the full moon. But if we wait for the full moon and appreciate the full moon, but that appreciation does not translate into appreciating all the faces of the waxing moon.
Sonsa ta antenne kindo te sonsa kanda angare sanji semba la sha chewa ne nga la sha chewa ta che ma je sha che go che u des nga la sha chewa ti ene ta sanji tendi de ran le kon la sha chewa ti ene sanji semba la sha che go che u ma res tenis kanang do
Kesala quoted the words from the sutra which said, Buddha himself said in his words, if you respect bodhisattvas, you are respecting me. But if you respect me, it's not the same as respecting bodhisattvas.
Oh, nice. That is then this summa then give a chayung on those.
So what I've been explaining to you now, I mean, this all boils down to the same thing here. That if we respect and cherish sentient beings, this is all like same as cherishing Buddhas and Bodhisattvas.
Well, that is any tambo de devajit. Ta yan gitin pa nam yebe ranke per zins. Zingres ina ta okol se okol se ngaju ene namba sanje be che dunke zo ganda ani te ko dong kres kanang do.
Now going back to what Geshe Chagab originally said, the four things that we should do, and which are in a sense opposite of what the ordinary people think and behave. So the first one we just talked about is ordinary people usually cherish Buddhas but not sentient beings. So we need to do the opposite, cherish sentient beings, you know, more than Buddhas. Now the second one he said is ordinary sentient beings cherish self over others. Now we need to learn the opposite, cherish others over self.
Nanji ngad sing da ba tambo rang che ne te ne au chuna te yin san do sin san tang yo ar vasta.
So even a sort of a which kind of common sense thing people talk about is, you know what, first you need to take care of yourself, okay, then you can think about others. First I is so important, you know.
Tambo te ba le ngand ba te du san ni अनि भलम जिदि चाहिँ नि सेगे थामके अनि साजे खम्बा थ्वे जरि भलम जेगु से चाहिँ नि अनि तर ए रां करे छे गरिस तति को पक्षा तले यार जरा के छम बि छे तले राले सेगे गे ले रां के छे छे सुगु छे तंदि यंगु दो बस के छे न रां तंदा यि समझ
Years ago, when I came to the United States and started working here, then some people would ask me, when I advised them that we need to cultivate altruism, for the sake of other sentient beings, we need to cherish others. Then somebody would ask, you know, then what about me, the self? So that really shows how much, strong imprint, self-related imprints we carry in our mind.
Yes, that thing has come to us. Rang yes, tole, moashe, yes, don't shave, you know. Kyula de rang tendam rudyukndu was tendam tikhyu songsongsne.
So now if we really cherish others and dedicate, you know, our good actions for them, you know, that also brings benefit to the self as well. Have all the four reasons that Geshe Chagpa gave about need to cherish sentient beings, you know, that's all explained in that.
Oh, yeah. Are, ta kibra desu. Ta okul ta tili dobra, kare esena te, che toma mepa ne esu, rangi dungi, toma mepa ne, rangi randu du kyukpa le esu, yin sui cha dudu ma kyu, ta tiri. Ta, yin kibra zingu esena, kare esena, rangi kibra zingu ya maresu, kare esena, ngaransu dubu kita nyangu ya resu, koe ne le. Tā ñāng guyā tā rāng shēpi lēki rāng tōli mīngu yorvās. Tā kō rāng kēpran dzīni lēng ngāmbā jī sā tī wāng kī tē kōli kōdi guyā tā zhēvirvās kā nāng duwa.
So Geshe Chagpa says that, you know, most of the people cherish self over others, but we need to do the opposite thinking. And we need to cherish others over the self. And he says, why? Because, you know, from beginningless time until now, we have cherished ourselves too much. It has not worked, you know. And what really, who is really responsible, or what is responsible for all the suffering we go through in samsara is because of self-cherishing attitude and all the actions we perform under its influence. That is the source of our problem and suffering. So now we need to recognize that, because what we have done all this time has not worked, so we need to change our way of thinking, you know, and cherish others over self.
So ta ta rang le minde pe ri kande ke sen dil thol shung ba ina chama che ngama la rang che pe le te ne le nge ba pe ne du cha chi shung ba ina du nge ji nyong ba ina rang che shyo ngama la le nge ba sa pe na mi nyo ta na mi chin de ba na mi chin de ba na mi chin de ba nyaw la nyong go re ina ta ti jin ti le ba la jin du shin de nyong go re ta na yi ge yāmbuji xēnē shi tāshī, anē, tī nāmi tī, anē rāngi xēnē jungu duwāshī.
So the point we are trying to make here is that, you know, we are responsible for all the good and bad things happening in our life and in samsara. All the things going wrong in our life and the sufferings and the problems we face are the outcomes of the negative karmas that we ourselves didn't accumulate under the influence of self-cherishing attitude. And the things happening, good things to our life, are also the results of good karmas that we have, that we did and accumulate.
Megay le sadhu chani rang rang phe ji sam tani this sadhu yaris.
So even when we do the wrong things or the negative actions, I think our motivation is really we want to benefit ourselves. You know, there is some kind of a selfish, kind of a positive intention. I want to benefit self, but then we indulge in negativities. I'm thinking about the 10 negativities of body, spirit, and mind, starting with killing. So when we kill, you know, our motivation is either attachment, anger, or ignorance. So out of those delusions, we kill. So when we think about, you know, killing out of attachment and anger, that what that really involves is we really want to protect the self, you know, benefit the self. So when we kill someone out of you know, any of the delusional motivations, then we experience its ripening result in the unfortunate states of rebirth such as hell. But then even if we are in a better situation, you know, we still experience results you know, concordant with our negative action of killing, such as other people will kill us.
Yeah,
And okay, the same about the stealing, you know. It is out of attachment, we steal somebody, you know, thing for someone and bring it to ourselves, or out of anger we destroy somebody's property. That means we are not getting anything for ourselves. In either case, we have experienced the ripening result of our stealing in bad migration. So all these actions are basically coming from our self-centeredness, a self-cherishing attitude, that we really don't care about others. So I'm just kind of pointing one or two things here, and so that you will be able to think about similar situations, examples from your side. And we are going to stop there today. And we have a prayer request for Mr. Trung Nguyen, who is dealing with health issues. And also an announcement that I think there are letters that you could help send to senators and representatives of the Congress, men and women, you know, with regard to the repression going on in Tibet. So all the letters and things are in the lobby, if you could help. Let us dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all become Buddhas soon. And I also like to ask you to join in prayers to dedicate our marriage for like billions of sentient beings. We just only got one name here, who are dealing with health issues, and so may they be able to recover from their sicknesses and find good health. And also, you know, billions of sentient beings, die under different circumstances. Many die in war, many die under repression. And we think about all of them and dedicate our marriage for them to find good rebirths. Shadong gole je jabo to shin do go go zo me sang ye to kono do de de no de de ba cha ba je re zo no sha che lo me ni be me mo no 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 be me Bim, woman, a 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 bim, woman
Mm-hmm.